Welcome to Shema, the teaching ministry of the Olive Tree Congregation in suburban Chicago. Shema is Hebrew for hear, and we hope your love for God and others will grow as you hear God's Word exposited from a Messianic Jewish perspective. Join us as our congregational leader opens the scriptures that reveal from Genesis to Revelation God's loving redemptive plan for Israel and the nations.
Who's feeling tired? Anybody? Yeah. See a few hands up there. The rest of you are just being, you know. I think we're all pretty much worn out by the new normal, right? We want to go back to the old normal, which we complained about, but we will complain about at least less vociferously, at least for a little while, should we ever get to go back to it. I really do think that most of us are feeling like we've been running a marathon and we're kind of gasping for air. I've been watching the Tour de France, which normally takes place in July, but because of COVID, they moved it back to this month. And I've never ceased to amaze to watch these guys ride for 100 and something miles at some outrageous breakneck speed. And then at the end of the race, spend the last however many miles going uphill. And sometimes the hills are like look like this. I mean, it's just amazing. And the riders, the cyclists, by the time they get to the end, sometimes they literally have to be caught and held up on their bikes lest they just keel over. They are so spent by the energy that they have put out. And they are in desperate need of what? Rest. They are in desperate need of rest. And that is what we are all about as well, aren't we? We are in need of rest. We were enjoying dinner this week with some good friends of ours, and the wife was sharing about all of the things that she does to try to enable herself to have a decent night of sleep and to sleep through the night. And she spoke about taking warm baths and herbal teas and using essential oils and listening to mellow worship music and praying and just trying to get her eyes focused on the Lord and laying down. And she said just recently she fell asleep at a reasonable hour, you know, like at 10 or 11 o'clock. And she woke up and she said, oh, that was so great. And she looked at the clock. It was an hour and 20 minutes later. You know, and it's like, we need rest. Well, the good news is that Rosh Hashanah is about rest, is it not? It is about rest because it's part of God's cycle of rest as he's given it to our ancestors in the scriptures. And so to understand Rosh Hashanah's emphasis, we have to see Rosh Hashanah in its context with the other feasts that God gave to our ancestors. And we see that context most clearly in Leviticus chapter 23, where we find the major feasts that Israel is to celebrate year in and year out, listed for us in order as they appear in the year. And the list begins, interestingly enough, the list begins with who knows what? Shabbat, the weekly feast, the weekly day of rest, the seventh day of the week. And it begins with Shabbat and it ends with what? Sukkot. The list ends with Sukkot, and I guess you could say it ends with Shmini Atzeret, the eighth day gathering. And what ties that weekly Shabbat together with Sukkot is this idea of rest, that God set aside the seventh day. He rested on it. He made it holy. He sanctified it, right? And we're going to be looking at that a little bit in reference to Rosh Hashanah, because what's interesting is the idea of rest comes out clearly in Leviticus 23 in the weekly Shabbat, but then it doesn't appear again as clearly until Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. That these 3 days, these 3 feasts, are specifically and related to the idea of rest. And so as we look at Rosh Hashanah and our need for rest, I want us to ask this simple question. What does God want for us on Rosh Hashanah? What does he want for us on Rosh Hashanah? There are lots of traditions that surround this day, many of them beautiful, many of them meaningful. But I want to ask a very simple question. Well, what does God want us to get from this day? What does God want us to do with this day? And what I want to suggest is that God wants us to take a deep breath. He wants us to take a deep breath, and with that deep breath, reconnect with Him. Connect with Him. Reconnect with Him. Because I think that's the whole point of Shabbat and Shabbaton, the rest. And that's what we want to see in our texts that we're going to be looking at this morning, is that God wants us to take a deep breath and to reconnect with Him. And so what I want to do is I want to look at three different texts, and I want to talk briefly about how each text helps us take a deep breath and to reconnect with God through this whole idea of rest, this whole idea of Shabbat. The Shabbat, whether it's the weekly Shabbat or, in this case, the annual Shabbat. And so I want to start with Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And what I want to point out very simply is that God wants us to take a deep breath and reconnect with Him as our Creator. He wants us to take a deep breath. That's what Shabbat is about. That's what the rest of Rosh Hashanah is about, is reconnecting with God as our Creator. Rosh Hashanah takes place on which month? The seventh month, right? On the first day of the month. Now, we're instructed in the scriptures to celebrate the beginning of each month with the Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, which is no moon, right? But the seventh month, in parallel to the idea of 7 days and rest, now you've got 7 months, and you're going to mark the beginning of that month with a special rest. And so what is it that God wants us to connect with that idea of rest? And I really believe it's this notion of the fact that He is the Creator. Because Genesis 2, 1 through 3 ties together the Sabbath, Shabbats, to the idea of rest, to the idea of ceasing from labor and being refreshed. Because these are the things that God Himself did. And so if you have your scriptures, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. We're just going to look very briefly at the first three verses. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. And how many days did that take? 6 days, right? By the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day, and that word for rest there is the same, it's the same root as Shabbat. He says, on the seventh day from all His work which He had done, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. And so if you listen to these verses, you might pick up, your ears might pick up, well, didn't the opening repeat in the ending? Yes. And then in the middle is the thing God wants us to focus on. And the thing He wants us to focus on is then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He set it apart. He blessed it. He put His sign of favor on it. He filled it with good things. And He set it apart for Himself initially, and we will see for His creatures as well. And my basic point is this, is that by explaining the Sabbath this way, God ties the idea of rest on the seventh day to His hand in creation. You got that? It's very simple. So rest, Shabbat, is a direct line back to the Creator of heaven and earth. That's what it's to remind us of. That's what it brings to mind as we think about it, as we rest. And so listen to this quote. This is from John Salehammer from the NIV Compact Bible Commentary. He says this about these verses. The seventh day is set apart from the first six. On this day, God does not speak, nor does He work as He had on the previous days. Rather, He blessed the day and made it holy. the reader is left with a somber reminder stated three times of only one fact. God did not work on the seventh day. If the purpose of pointing to the likeness between humans and their Creator was to call on the readers to be more like God, and we see that specifically spelled out in Leviticus 11:45, then the seventh day stresses that very thing. They must rest on the seventh day. They must rest on the seventh day. And of course, we see that commanded in the 10 words in Exodus 20. We see that again in Psalm 95, verse 11. And we read about it again in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11. This call to rest, this call for reconnection with God through rest. And so in Rosh Hashanah, when we rest on Rosh Hashanah, we're tying ourselves to the God of creation, the one who created the world and everything that's in it. And it reminds us that we are not a mistake of nature. When we stop and we reconnect ourselves with the Creator of the universe, we are encouraged to remember that somebody made us on purpose. Isn't that good news? Somebody made you on purpose. Whether your parents planned it or not is immaterial. Because the Creator of the universe created you. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Isn't that an amazing truth? And so as we rest on Rosh Hashanah, it draws us back to reconnect with the God of creation. We are not an accident. We are living in a world and in a system that was created on purpose for our good and for our benefit. That's why everything exists the way it exists. That's why if the earth were however many millimeters, meters, whatever it is, closer to the sun we would burn up, or further from the sun we would freeze. That's why our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's why when we eat bread and we drink wine, we bless God for those things. Because they were created on purpose for His glory and for the blessing of His creatures. And we call all of those things to remind every time we take a Shabbat. And of course, we don't fully recognize and realize this now because of the fallen nature of the creation. Paul tells us that all creation moans and is waiting for us to be reborn in the image of God in Messiah. And so we don't experience it all, but as we rest, even in our fallen state, we are reminded that we are image bearers. That you and I have infinite worth because we are created in the image of God. And so when we look at each other, no matter what our disabilities are, no matter what our skin color is, no matter what our privilege or disadvantage was growing up, when we look at those things, no matter how rich or poor we are, whether we are Jewish or Gentile, no matter what nationality we have, each and every one of us is of infinite value for one reason and one reason only. Because we are created in the image of God. And so when we look at each other and we relate to each other, we can relate to each other as people who are of infinite value as fellow bearers of God's image, male and female together, spread across this globe. And so when we come together on Rosh Hashanah, what does God want for us on Rosh Hashanah? He wants us to take a deep breath. And not do all the stuff we normally do to provide for ourselves and our families and to reconnect with the Creator God. With the Creator God. And to have our whole lives and our whole understanding of our existence on this planet framed in light of who our Creator really is. And so what does God want for us? He wants us to take a deep breath and reconnect with Him as a Creator. And He also wants us to take a deep breath and reconnect with Him as the covenant keeper, the covenant-keeping God, because that's what makes him unique. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God who humbles himself to engage with his creatures and enter into covenant relationship with them for their good and for their blessing. And the rest that we experience on God's Sabbaths, whether it's the weekly Shabbat or whether it's the Sabbaths he gives us in the Hagim, as we've seen in Leviticus chapter 23, he wants us to connect the rest that we take with him as the God who makes and keeps covenants with his creatures. And we see that come out in Exodus chapter 31. I'm going to read just a couple of verses from Exodus 31, beginning with verse 12. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths.'" Notice plural, and it isn't just the weekly Sabbaths, but it is the Sabbaths that are included in the Hagim, in the feasts in Leviticus 23. He says, "For this, for these Sabbaths, this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sets you apart. That I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I am the Lord who makes you holy. I am the Lord who has called you, who has entered into a relationship with you, and who has given you purpose and meaning and a destiny. So when you rest, these are a sign of that relationship." Do you see that? And he repeats the same idea later in the same chapter. In verse 16, he says, "So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever." And then look what he points to. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed." And so he points us back and he says, you do this as a sign of my covenant relationship with you. I am the one who has called you. I am the one who set you apart. I am the one who is in control of your destiny. And I, the one who is claiming these things, is the same one who created heaven and earth and rested on the seventh day. And so it's this picture. And so God wants us, he wants us to take a deep breath and he wants us to reconnect with God, the covenant keeper. And, you know, we look at the world around us and we think, oh my gosh, how bad can it be? I heard somebody teaching last Friday evening and he made this point. He was talking about anti-Semitism and he was talking about the spiritual roots of anti-Semitism. And he made the observation that if you look at the far right and the far left, they have one thing in common. And what is that? They hate the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism. Isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't that an amazing thing? And we look at the world and we see the rise in anti-Semitic incidences. We see the rise in the persecution of all followers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, meaning Christians, the church. And we see that and we start to think, whoa, what is going on? But we have to remember that we worship and we bear the sign of the covenant-keeping God. And that all of the promises to Israel are yes and amen because of who it was who made those promises to Abraham. And we can be encouraged that those of us who know Messiah Jesus and who have entered into a relationship with God through faith in his death, burial, and resurrection, who are beginning to experience the reality of the new covenant that God promised to Israel in Jeremiah chapter 31, that all of us can seek out God. We can take a deep breath in Rosh Hashanah and reconnect with the God who has connected himself to us by covenant. Isn't that an amazing thing? He chose Abraham. He made unconditional promises to Abraham. He eventually promised a new covenant. He has called every one of us who know Him through faith in Jesus. And He has covenanted Himself to us in an unconditional covenant to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and to bring us to His eternal kingdom. Amen? That is the covenant-keeping God. And so you stop and you think about whatever's going on with COVID. You stop and think about the threats to your health. You stop and think about the threats to your finances, to your business. There's serious stuff going on. People are suffering big time. And when we come to Rosh Hashanah, we are reminded to take a deep breath and remember that we are going through all of those things under the care of the covenant-keeping God, the one who has called us, the one who has sanctified us, who has set us apart for His purposes, the one who has sworn by His own glory to accomplish all of His promises. Let that rest begin to seep in a little bit. And this is the last point that I want to make, is that God wants us to take a deep breath and to reconnect with Him as Creator. He wants us to reconnect with Him as Covenant Keeper. And He wants us to reconnect with Him as the only rest giver. The only rest giver. And so you can hardly think about the idea of rest without thinking about these verses from the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 11, Messiah is teaching. And He says this, and this is, He's speaking to people who are living under a religious system where there are laws upon laws upon laws. There are laws instituted that are to be kept to keep us from breaking the laws that were instituted, to keep us from breaking the laws that were instituted from keeping from breaking the laws, right? And no matter how hard we try, we do what? We fail over and over again. And he sees people laboring, even people who love God, people who want to have a relationship with God, who want to be intimate with God, finding themselves weighed down and discouraged because they cannot get to where they want to go. And to them, Messiah says, to us, Messiah says, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke, that's the collar that cattle and oxen wear to make the work of pulling the wagon or whatever it is they're pulling easy on them and comfortable for them. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. So My yoke, I am your teacher, you are My disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Now, how could Messiah possibly make that promise, make that statement? He can only make that statement because He knew the sacrifice He was going to make. He knew that the thing we need to be in right relationship with God, He alone would accomplish for us. And that we could come to Him by faith and receive that payment for the forgiveness of our sins. And to have ourselves and our sins cleansed. And not only to have our sins forgiven, to have all the stuff in the negative column wiped out, but all of the stuff, the good stuff in the positive column, that is Jesus Himself, Yeshua Himself, placed in our column. And He says, come unto Me, all you weary and heavy laden. If you are struggling and striving to get to that place of quiet rest before the God of heaven and earth, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Holy God, Jesus says, come to Me. I am the only one who can give you the rest for which you yearn. The rest for which all of us yearn. Rest from sin, our sin against a holy God who loves us. Our sin against one another, rest from that. Rest from death and trying to avoid it. And rest from all of the things that we are running from on a regular basis. He says, come to me, all you are heavy and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so as we stop on Rosh Hashanah, take a deep breath, right? It connects us with the fact that not only is our God the creator of heaven and earth, and that we have our value and meaning wrapped up in Him, and that He is the covenant-making and covenant-keeping God, and that the destiny for which we long and that He promises to us is ours because of His faithfulness to His promises, His covenants, is the God through Messiah who says to me, to you, to all of us, come to me and I will give you rest. Take a deep breath on Rosh Hashanah. Reconnect with God. If you know the Messiah, spend time in prayer, spend time in praise and adoration, spend time reflecting on who He is and what He has done for you. Don't get too hung up on how unworthy you are. Accept that you do that enough to appreciate how glorious what He has done for you is. I just want you to get this. Rest, this whole idea of rest, the very core biblical concept in Rosh Hashanah, the same core concept that's in Shabbat, is all about ceasing. That the sign that marks us out as the people of God is what we don't do. Isn't that amazing? That sure sounds like the gospel to me. That the sign of us as the people of God is our ceasing and not our doing. Because it is the God of heaven and earth. It is the God of creation. It is the God who makes and keeps His covenants. It is the God who provides rest. Who enables us to experience the things that we yearn for most in our lives. And that is to be loved and to love even as we are loved. Rosh Hashanah reminds us to reconnect with God. And we do that by taking a deep breath, slowing down, and just stopping the things that we do to reflect on the things that God has done. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Rosh Hashanah. We thank You that it really is Your desire for us to rest on this day, and not in terms of some legalistic requirement, but because it is life and breath, because it connects us to You who is life and breath. Lord, I pray for those who have heard this message who do not know Messiah, that they would come to Him for rest, that they would come to Him in faith, put their trust in what He has done for them, in His death and resurrection, and that they would receive from You the rest that You promise. And they would begin to experience that rest today, even as they look forward to it in its fullness for all eternity. And Lord, for those of us who have experienced that, Lord, may our hearts be refreshed and renewed this day. And may we, in our refreshed state, head into this new year with a new zeal to bring the message of rest to those who so desperately need it. Lord, thank You for loving us. Thank You for doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Thank You for giving us the rest we so desperately need. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen.
If you have been encouraged by Shema, the teaching ministry of the Olive Tree Congregation, or if you would like to learn more about Messiah Yeshua and God's love for His Jewish people and the world, please email us at shema@olive-tree.org. That's shema@olive-tree.org. Olive Tree Congregation is a family-friendly community of Jews and Gentiles sharing new life in Messiah Jesus. you're welcome to join us for worship any Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. We're located at 400 North Elmhurst Road in Prospect Heights, Illinois. For more information, please call us at 847-222-1230 or visit us on the web at olive-tree.org.